Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire, and we are going to hear from Robert Buchalotto later in this episode. Following up on our discussion last week of Fort Clinch, a masonry fort whose construction was begun in the 1840s, at one end of the state in Fernandina Beach, we're going to go to another end of the state in Key West in Fort Taylor, and actually we'll be going to another point in the state in Pensacola. In future episodes for similar forts in Fort Barrancas and Fort Pickens. But let's talk about Fort Taylor today, which is similar to Fort Clinch and is also, much like Fort Clinch, a state historic park. Its ownership is now under the state of Florida. Some of the other forts we talk about in this series, Castillo de San Marcos is a national monument. Fort Caroline is a national monument. Fort Matanzas is a national monument. Fort Pickens, Fort Barrancas, that we will talk about in the future in Pensacola, or are administered by the National Park Service. But these are actually state parks, Fort Clinch and Fort Taylor. So we have to give a real thanks to the state of Florida for preserving these forts. So Fort Taylor is in Key West. It is named for the great general and American President Zachary Taylor. Construction of the fort at Fort Taylor began in 1845, and it's on the southwestern shore of Key West. Because of its location, all the approaches to Key West Harbor, the port, which was at that point the most important port in Florida, other than maybe Pensacola, but probably still more important, all of those approaches would be properly guarded. And when President Zachary Taylor died suddenly in 1850, the fort, which was still under construction, was named after him. The Major Joseph G. Totten designed the fort. If you know Fort Totten in the D.C. area, that's named for Major Totten. And he became the first general of the Army Corps of Engineers. Fort Jefferson and Fort Taylor were both built around the same time. We're going to talk about Fort Jefferson next week with Ryan Ray. And Fort Taylor was designed in such a way that, I'm trying to describe this, it was like a trapezoid. So the long side, the long length of the trapezoid was on the land side, right? And that's how you come into it now at the state park. The two other sides, those three points, the three other points faced the ocean. So they could monitor what was going on at sea. The fort actually had a desalination plant, which was very unusual at that time. And produced drinking water from seawater during the Civil War. Now, as the fort was being constructed in the 1850s, cannons and ammunition arrived, and there were troops stationed there, and sometimes it was as few as 50 troops, sometimes it was as many as 500, but they cycled in and out. And when the fort was completed, it had 198 cannons. At the outbreak of the war, the Civil War, Captain John Brannan occupied Fort Taylor for the Union. Now, Key West was a Confederate town, right? It was a town, even once it became, and we've talked about this on a previous podcast with Robert Buchalotto, even after Key West became, quote, Union Florida, right? It was detached from the state at this point and became, was in Union hands the entirety of the war. Residents proudly flew their Confederate flags in their front yards from their homes. It was very pro-Southern. But by capturing Fort Taylor, Captain Brannan put the Union in the catbird seat in terms of executing Winfield Scott's blockade. Now, we talked about Winfield Scott's Anaconda plan, General Winfield Scott, last week when we discussed Fort Clinch. And Key West was so important to enforcing the blockade. And a number of Southern blockade-running ships were caught because of Fort Taylor. And the Confederate Navy wanted to take Key West back, but they never could because of Fort Taylor. So Fort Taylor allowed Key West to stay in Union hands for the remainder of the war. So Key West spent 4 years in Union hands during the Civil War, even though the residents of the town were very much supporters of the Confederacy. The fort was also used during the Spanish-American War for obvious reasons, right? It was right, closest American point to the front lines during the Spanish-American War. And batteries were built on the outskirts of the fort. And you can see those batteries now at Fort Taylor State Park. And batteries continued to be added after the Spanish Civil War. And Fort Taylor was still commissioned during World War I and still saw troop deployments and coastal artillery during World War II, and was finally decommissioned in the 1970s. And the state of Florida took it over in 1976. I should mention, though, there was a period of time where the fort during World War II was in the hands of the Army and not the Navy. And so the Navy took over the fort in 1947, was really important, especially with the little White House being not far, you know, a little further inland in Key West, in the middle of the island of Key West. The naval presence at Fort Taylor in the 1950s was very important, 1940s and 1950s, to protecting Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower when they were in Key West. 47, obviously, Truman's president. Truman spending a lot of his time in Key West. The Navy take over Fort Taylor. Took it back over. The Army continued to operate Fort Taylor during the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II. It was turned over to the Navy in 1947. And decommissioned in the 1970s, and as we mentioned, became a state park eventually. 1976, deeded to the state of Florida, was made a state park soon thereafter. Now let's hear a little bit from Robert.
And it just seems so appropriate for a fort named Zachary Taylor, this person that couldn't be cajoled, even when he was faced by a unified opposition. This fort in the middle of enemy territory, surrounded by the enemy, and it stands defiant. It is able to hold on and remain standing. It's a very poetic element of Florida history and Civil War history, I think.
No question about that, Robert. Really poetic and appropriate. This fort is named for the great Zachary Taylor. We will be back next week on the Florida History Podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about Fort Jefferson, which is now in Dry Tortugas National Park.